from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo scheduled to attend the 32nd ASEAN Summit in Singapore. Indonesian women must have equal rights and obligations. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo and Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi are scheduled to attend the 32nd ASEAN Summit in Singapore. A series of meetings of the ASEAN Summit will last for 4 days. That was stated by spokesman of Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Armand Atanasi, in a press conference held in Jakarta on Friday.
Kami ingin menyampaikan rencana kegiatan Ibu Menteri Luar Negeri.
We would like to compare the plan of the activities of Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs and the President, who are scheduled to attend the ASEAN Regional Meeting and the ASEAN Summit in Singapore. ASEAN Regional Meeting itself will be held on 26 and 27 of April, and afterwards it will be continued with ASEAN Summit on 27 and 28 of April. Armand Atanasi added that Singapore is the host of the 32nd ASEAN Summit, and ASEAN leaders in 2018 will specifically raise the theme, Building Resilient and Innovative ASEAN. There are some things that will be of interest to Indonesia at the 32nd ASEAN Summit, such as cyber security cooperation and government efforts to push the plan of ASEAN to advance ASEAN Smart City Network. Then the 32nd ASEAN Summit is also expected to produce some key documents, such as ASEAN Leader Vision for Resilient and Innovative ASEAN and ASEAN Leader Statement on Cyber Security Cooperation. Deputy of Social Sciences and Humanities at Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Tri Nuke Pujastuti, does hope that Kartini Day, which is commemorated every 21st of April, becomes an encouragement for Indonesian women. She perceives that Indonesian women with various capabilities can become the agent of change of Indonesian nation. This was stated by Tri Nuke Pujastuti to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of the public discussion on Kartini Day event in Jakarta on Friday.
Filosofi peran Kartini itu kan pada dasarnya peran yang di mana
the philosophy of Kartini's role is basically the one in which the women exist with their condition. What does it mean? If women exist by their own power, they have equality. This means that nowadays women must have equal rights and obligations in all sectors of life. They can become not only lecturers, teachers, or academicians, managers, but also politicians in the political arena so that they have equal rights. Tri Nuke Pujastuti further stated that in the present era, with full complexity, Indonesian women should be able to show courage in all sectors and show their major role in contributing to build Indonesia. She also remarked that Indonesian women must also be able to actualize themselves with positive and useful things. The protection issue of migrant workers in Southeast Asia is one of the issues to be highlighted by Indonesia. At the 32nd ASEAN Summit to take place in Singapore on 27 until 28 of April, at the meeting at the plenary session and the retreat, Indonesia to be represented by President Joko Widodo and Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi will discuss again the strengthening of cooperation of Indonesian migrant worker protection among 10 ASEAN member countries. This was stated by Political Director of ASEAN Security Political Cooperation at the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Chandra Yuda, in a press conference in Jakarta on Friday. Of course, other things that will be encouraged and concerned by us are about the strengthening of cooperation of migrant workers' protection through the implementation of ASEAN consensus on the protection and promotion on the rights of migrant workers. As we know, the consensus has been signed by the ASEAN head of state in November 2017 in the Philippines. Furthermore, Chandra explained that the 32nd ASEAN Summit is an appropriate forum to discuss various regional issues in Southeast Asia and how to move forward, including the protection issue of migrant workers. So far, the protection of migrant workers in Southeast Asia has been mutually agreed upon by the 10 ASEAN member countries through the ASEAN Consensus on the Protection and Promotion of the Rights of Migrant Workers. The agreements administer a number of rights owned by every migrant worker, ranging from the rights to hold a passport, rights to treatment and fair income in the workplace, the rights to communicate, the rights to participate in association or unions in the recipient country, and the rights to file a case in case of breach of employment contract. In addition, the ASEAN Consensus also regulates the rights of families of migrant workers, including the rights to visit migrant workers working in one of the ASEAN countries. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian-Dutch relationship has never been separated from historical times. The Dutch colonial period left many relics such as old buildings, some of which are still used today by government agencies or they are used as museums. The old buildings are not well maintained. As a consequence, they are already broken due to being too old. Related to the handling of historic old buildings in Indonesia, Economic Counselor of the Royal Netherlands Embassy in Indonesia, Sjip Schoor, in an interview to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently said that the old building restoration remains the responsibility of Indonesian nation.
Erfgoed, dan denken wij dat het ook iets is van...
In terms of heritage, in our opinion, it is Indonesian's responsibility. So if someone thinks that we still take part in the restoration of old buildings like in Bandung, Semarang, in Kota Tua, or even in Malang, unfortunately, it's not true. Sjip Schoor also stated that the Dutch side is ready to help if Indonesia needs the Dutch government as advisor who can provide inputs for the restoration of old buildings, according to the Dutch experience in handling old buildings in the Netherlands. Commemorating the National Consumer Day 2018 on April 20, the National Consumer Protection Agency, BPKN, in collaboration with Mercu Buana University, held a seminar on National Consumer Day and Food Tourism held in Jakarta on Friday. Before the seminar, head of the BPKN, Ardiansa Parmant, along with rector of Mercu Buana University, Haris Setianto Nugroho, signed Memorandum of Understanding on Consumer Education to students. In his speech, Ardiansa Parmant said that through the MOU, cooperation in research and study will be undertaken.
Badan Perlindungan Konsumen Nasional punya tugas melakukan penelitian, pengkajian terhadap peraturan perundang-undangan.
BPKN has the task of conducting research and study based on the regulation. In the three obligations of college, one of them is to conduct research and study. Therefore, we are signing MOU cooperation in at least these three areas, first research and study, second education and training, and the third is that BPKN encourages the growth of non-governmental consumer protection agencies. Ardiansa Parmant further explained that BPKN is willing to provide energy to give general lecture to students about consumer protection. In return, the university also provides training for BPKN staff as a follow-up of the MEU. Meanwhile, Rector of Mercu Buana University said that National Consumer Protection Agency is a strategy institution because its role can be a driving machine of the nation's economy. Therefore, BPKN needs to get support from all parties, including from universities. Presiden Direktur PT Pamindo Inovasi Teknologi, Julius Agus Salim, inaugurated the first drone technology development plant in Southeast Asia located in Bogor, West Java on Tuesday. He noted in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Friday that several Indonesians possess immense abilities, thus motivating themselves to advance the world of the nation's children, especially in the development and production of environmental friendly drones. Salin further pointed out that the development of drone technology in Indonesia is still lagging behind due to the lack of technology support and educational use of drones by manufacturers and developers. So the production of drones in Indonesia is still low, and the people prefer to use drones produced by foreign technology. He remarked that 80% of the raw material used in making the drones is produced domestically. He added that the Pamindo Group is a company that had forged cooperation with the Army, National Police, National Search and Rescue Agency, and Intelligence Headquarters. The last item, Senegal, which has purchased Indonesian-made aircraft and rolling stock, plans to buy a tanker and cargo ship from the country. It also wants to buy 2 units of 50-meter patrol boat to watch over its 700-kilometer coastline. This was reported by the Indonesian embassy in Doha, quoting the Senegalese Minister for Expansion of National Railway Networks, Abdou Ende Sall. He visited the state-owned shipbuilding company PT PAL in Surabaya, East Java, and Indonesian African Forum, IAF, in Bali more recently. Indonesian embassy spokesman Dimas Prihadi in Doha quoted PT PAL President Director Budiman Saleh as saying on Friday in a press statement that Senegal would also buy a tanker and cargo ship totaling 18,500 tons in weight. Senegal also wants to buy a number of other types of ships from PT PAL, such as 50-seat PIP ship to be used by the country's president, 250-seat capacity ferry, 500-seat and 2,000-seat high-speed ferries with specification of economic and business class and first class. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to our weekly news from across the country, the segment which present interesting information from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Magetan, East Java. 1,265 children of kindergarten and the Early Childhood Association Himpaudi from Ponorogo and Madiun, East Java, came to Iswahyudi Air Base in Magetan, East Java. The children's visit, accompanied by their educators, was greeted by Head of Aerospace Potential Development of Iswahyudi Air Base, Major Pom Dwi Wahyudi. Iswahyudi Air Base is a national strategic military installation because there are available fighter squadrons of the Indonesian Air Force. Although the status is very strategic and becomes a restricted area for the public, there are certain sites that can be visited by the public with a special permit and become one of the famous educational destinations. Major Pom Dwi Wahyudi said the public awareness about the importance of aerospace knowledge encourages Iswahyudi Air Base begin to clean up and build a good public service system. Next story comes from Solok Selatan, West Sumatra. Community of Nagari or traditional village Koto Baru, South Solok or Solok Selatan Regency, West Sumatra, granted 51 rumah gadang to the local government to be revitalized to support 1,000 rumah gadang tourism. Head of Destination, Tourism and Culture of Solok
Selatan, Eko Espito in Padangaro said on Tuesday that the 51 rumah gadang within Indonesia's most popular custom village are ready to be revitalized. The proposed houses are located in the heritage area since December 2017. After the restoration of the rumah gadang has been completed, in accordance with the target for 1.5 years, there will be issued region regulation for its management. Eko Espito said, to improve the service for tourists, the local government has trained the tour guides on how to accompany the guests and visitors who come to the region. In addition, currently 17 South Solok or Solok Selatan tour guides also follow the competence organized by West Sumatra Provincial Government in Bukit Tinggi. Previously, President Joko Widodo has launched the revitalization of Saribu Rumah Gadang area that won the first prize in the Indonesian Wonder Award or API 2017 on the most popular traditional village category. The story comes from Sleman, Yogyakarta. Keraton Yogyakarta or Yogyakarta Palace performed Labuhan Ageng Merapi on the occasion of Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat anniversary to commemorate ascended the throne of Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X on Tuesday, April 17. The series of Labuhan events started on Monday with a submission of Ubarampe Labuhan or offerings from Kraton Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat to the head of Depok sub-district in Pendopo Depok, Sleman Regency. Ubarampe is then paraded by the Abdi Dalam, then submitted to Interpreter Lok of Mount Merapi, Mas Kliwon Surak Sohargo, or familiarly called Pak Asih. Ubarampe then taken to Joglo Kinarejo, Petilasan House of Mbah Marijan. Labuhan Merapi is routinely held every year on 30 Rajab in the Javanese calendar. Sleman Region Sri Purnomo, in a speech read by the Regional Assistant Secretary Purwatno Widodo, said that the Labuhan ceremony interpreted as a prayer offerings to God Almighty for the blessings to the King and the people of Yogyakarta. The ritual ceremony is also a sign of respect for the ancestral palace of Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat. Listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Radio Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on April 21st. It's about Raden Ajeng Kartini. Raden Ajeng Kartini was a pioneer of women's equality in education in Indonesia. Habis Gelap Terbilateran, or in English, means Out of Darkness to Light, was the title of a book of Raden Ajeng Kartini's letters collection. This was well known. These letters, which were written to her friends in the Netherlands, became evidences how much desirable Kartini was to release her community from discrimination which had been entrenched in her era. Kartini's struggle was written not only on papers but also on the establishment of school for free for girls in Jepara and Rempan, Central Java. The efforts of daughter of Jepara region, Raden Ajeng Kartini, had opened her community site in various other regions. Since that time, the schools for women were built and growing throughout Indonesia. Because of the greatness of Kartini's services to Indonesia, with the name of the state, the government of President Sukarno issued Presidential Decree No. 108-1964, which determined Kartini as a national heroine. And the birthday of Kartini, April 21st, as Kartini Day, which is commemorated every year. The next event was in 1995 when Amir Mahmud passed away. Amir Mahmud was an Indonesian military general, eyewitness of signature of Surat Perintah 11 Maret, which means order of 11 March, and hand over document of power from President Sukarno to General Suharto. In addition to becoming Home Minister, Amir Mahmud also became head of General Election Council, legislative election in 1971, 1977, and 1982 were held under his supervisory. In December 1965, he was installed to become commander of Regional Military Command, 5th Jaya, and has responsibility for security of Jakarta and surrounding areas. In 1982, he was selected as chairman of People Consultative Assembly and as chairman of the House of Representatives. Amir Mahmud got retired in 1987 after finishing his tenure as a chairman of the Assembly and the House. And the last event was in 2009 when World Digital Library was officially inaugurated. World Digital Library is digital library among the countries which is managed by UNESCO and Library of Congress belonging to the United States of America. The library was officially inaugurated on April 21, 2009 and aimed as referral source of various information documents of the world which can be accessed free of charge. The mission of the establishment of the library is to develop understanding among nations and cultures, to expand content of variation of content on the internet, to provide teaching basic materials for teachers, scholars, and general applicants, and to strengthen the ability of partner institutions in the bid to narrow the intra and interstate digital gap. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia. Today, it's on Minister of Cooperative invites public to visit Smesco Indonesia in miniature. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Puspayoga invites the public to visit and shop at the Provincial Pavilion at Smesco Building, Jakarta as an Indonesian miniature that presents the superior products of small and medium enterprises from 34 provinces. Puspayoga, during his visit to the Smesco Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, said, "Anyone may come to the Smesco and it's like seeing Indonesia. All leading small and medium enterprises products from Sabang to Merauke are available there." He added that the provincial pavilion accommodates a variety of excellent products of small and medium enterprises, or SMEs, from all provinces in Indonesia coming directly from the craftsmen. Therefore, Minister Puspayoga assured that the provincial pavilion in the Smesco building can be called as Indonesia in miniature in terms of superior SME products. According to Minister Puspayoga, this is a form of small and medium enterprises empowerment as well as to facilitate the public to get the best SME products without having to come all the way to the source in the province. Just come to Smesco. The Ministry of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises provide space in the provincial pavilion for SMEs free of charge, and it is only taxed 10%. However, SMEs that enter the ranks of suppliers must first through the curation process so that only the best and excellent products that exist in the provincial pavilion. Lately, the Ministry of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises has been revitalizing the provincial pavilion to showcase the new faces of provincial superior products as well as a new image of regional identity by presenting local heritage and unique products. According to Puspa Yoga, the revitalization which took place since January 2018 is a strategic step to integrate all potential of small and medium enterprises. Thus, MESCO Indonesia becomes an icon or a new image in achieving the development and marketing of excellent products of cooperatives and small and medium enterprises. Puspa Yoga explained, revitalization is intended to produce MESCO Indonesia to appear different, competitive, and able to generate value for visitors. According to him, the approach in the process of revitalization is done in an integrated, visitor-oriented, and specifically for local, small, and medium enterprises to be effective. He hopes with the new image, MESCO Indonesia will be the best reference to find and get local products of cooperatives and small and medium enterprises. MESCO Indonesia is also expected to be their promotional instrument as well as a forum to enhance the competitiveness of regional cooperatives and small and medium enterprises. In addition, he hopes MESCO can be a one-stop shopping area for both local and international consumers who want to buy Indonesian cooperatives and small and medium enterprises product. Well, that was my Indonesia Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo and Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi are scheduled to attend the 32nd ASEAN Summit in Singapore. Deputy of Social Sciences and Humanities at Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Trinuki Pujastuti, does hope that Kartini Day, which is commemorated every 21st of April, becomes an encouragement for Indonesian women. The protection issue of migrant workers in Southeast Asia is one of the issues to be highlighted by Indonesia in the 32nd ASEAN Summit to take place in Singapore on 27 and 28 of April. The Indonesian-Dutch relationship has never been separated from historical times. The Dutch colonial period had many relics such as old buildings, some of which are still used today by the government agencies or they are used as museums. The old buildings are not well maintained. As a consequence, they are already broken due to being too old. Related to the handling of historical old buildings in Indonesia, Economic Chancellor of the Royal Netherlands Embassy in Indonesia, Sip Skuur, in an interview to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently said that the old building restoration remains the responsibility of the Indonesian nation. Commemorating the National Consumer Day 2018 on April 20, the National Consumer Protection Agency, BPKN, in collaboration with Mercubuana University held a seminar on National Consumer Day and Food Tourism Health in Jakarta on Friday. President Director of PT Famindo Innovasi Technology, Julius Agus Salim, inaugurated the first drone technology development plant in Southeast Asia located in Bogor, West Java on Thursday. Senegal, which has purchased Indonesian-made aircraft and rolling stock, plans to buy a tanker and cargo ship from the country. It also wants to buy 2 units of 50-meter patrol boat to watch over a 700-kilometer coastline. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism objects in Central Halmahera, North Maluku. Stay tuned.
Central Halmahera is a regency in North Maluku which has tourism attraction. One of the tourism objects which can be visited on Halmahera Island, especially Central Halmahera, is Boki Moruru Cave. The cave is located at Sageyan upstream, precisely at the area of hills of Sagea Village, Central Halmahera Regency, North Maluku Province. The cave is well known as Cave Without Endless Point. The natural cave was found by French expedition in 1996. Listener, the name of Boki Moruru was taken from a name of princess who reputedly lived in this area. Boki Moruru means princess who washed herself away. According to the story of local people, at Sageyan River, a princess of Tidore Sultanate and she was taking a bath and playing while washing herself away from Sageyan River's upstream until to downstream. Boki Moruru or Lubang Batu Cave has around 30 km long and many lanes. Although this tourism object doesn't have complete facility, many domestic and foreign tourists come to this cave. If you want to visit this place, you have to be guided by local people because this tourism object has heavy terrain. Listener, the distance from Weda, the capital city of Central Halmahera to Sagea Village, North Weda district, is around 30 km. If you are through land road, it takes around 4 hours by car, because the road condition is not good. Arriving to Sagea, your trip must be continued by going down Sagea River as far as 5 km. The path which must be passed by walking is quite difficult because it is wet and full of mud. Thus, local people suggest to use boat with outboard engine, namely katinting. If you use katinting boat, you take around 30 minutes. As long as your trip, you can enjoy birds chirp among trees which grow along the banks of the river. When entering Boki Moruru Cave, you will hear sound of bats. In front of the gateway, there is land which is namely buleu, or a mentioning of land at the middle of water. Buleu usually becomes one of resorts of the visitors. Listener, before entering Boki Moruru Cave, you have to provide torch as light when in the cave. In the cave, you can see stalactites and stalagmites which decorate the cave, and also big pillars which have unique forms. There is also stalagmite which has a form like human. Local people call it as Batu Sembahyang, or in English means praying stone. If you walk in the cave as long as 8 km, you will find many beautiful ornaments which have many kinds of shapes, such as stupa and temple, face of human and animal. Listener, Boki Moruru Cave until now is not known its endless point until where it ends, because in the deepest part, its location get narrows, so it is difficult for people to skip. In 1937, Bernhard, a brother of Queen Wilhelmina, the Dutch queen, visited the cave. It can be proved with his handwriting on the wall in the cave. And in 1996, French expedition also came to research the cave, but they could not also find the endless point of the cave. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Boki Moruru Cave in Halmahera. I'm Clarissa Fitri Ardella, thank you for listening.
thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, welcome to Miscellany at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Featuring various aspects of Indonesia including art and culture, technology, environment, even lifestyle. On this occasion, I'll bring a topic on the meaning of Kartini Day commemoration. Stay tuned in at www.voinews.id. Every April the 21st is celebrated as Kartini Day in Indonesia. The day was established by Indonesia's first President Sukarno in 1964. It is taken from the birth date of Raden Ajeng Kartini, an Indonesian women emancipation well-known figure. Kartini Day is also a day of appreciation for the struggle of Indonesian women for their rights in society. Today, Kartini's figure is a symbol of Indonesian women's struggle for gender equality. She is remembered until now because she has become an inspiration for all women in Indonesia. Kartini is a woman who calls on all women to continue to shine as her hope is in the book, After the Dark Comes the Light. Kartini felt the role of women in Indonesia was very weak because they were forced to marry unknown men in an arranged marriage. They could not get education and were far from advanced civilization. Kartini understood the position and fate of the women of her era who were not the same as men. She fought for women to get education. Among the efforts was to establish a school for women in Semarang, Central Java. Kartini's desire for her people to gain gender equality today is evident from the many women who have received high education and get good profession in their field. Kartini also wants women to be treated equally in life. For women should have the right to resist various acts of violence that are common in domestic life and also get protection from acts of violence or other oppression. Kartini wants women in Indonesia to continue struggle to get their rights. The great idea of Kartini's struggle must become the idea of changing the nation, not merely materials for discussion, seminars and workshops or annual anniversaries. It should become a strategic planning on protection and promotion of women in various sectors of life, such as education, politics, culture, religion, and even economy. Famous Indonesian writer Pramudia Anantatur in his book Call Me Kartini Only, names Kartini as the first modern Indonesian thinker who became a pioneer in modern Indonesian history. Kartini was a user of information communication technology products at the time. Becoming a loyal reader of Semarang newspaper, The Locomotive, and a Dutch women's magazine, The Hollandse Lady. Kartini was also an Indonesian woman in her time who was not reluctant to interact with various parties to discuss and exchange ideas about various things. She sent letters to her pen pals in Holland about culture, women's life, education, and religion. Some of her pen pals, such as Mr. and Mrs. G.H. Abendanon and Estelle alias Stella Zelandelar, quite intensively responded to Kartini's thoughts, complaints, and also feelings. A collection of Kartini letters to J.H. Abendanon after Kartini's death was published as a book titled Door des Sternis tot Licht, or After the Dark Comes the Light. The book was published in 1911 and became a bestseller at the time because it was printed up to 5 times. Well, that was Miscellany Today over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri Savitri Ardela, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Hi-Fi. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Indahnya Dirimu. Enjoy the song! You've just listened to the first song entitled Indahnya Dirimu, sung by Hi-Fi. Indahnya Dirimu was the first single of the band, which was established in Jakarta in 2009. The first personnel of Hi-Fi were Dea, Ilham, Febri, and Ezra. Hi-Fi released their first album entitled Say Hi to Hi-Fi in 2012. The album contains of 7 original songs and 1 recycle, namely Hayalan, which was popularized by The Groove. Love theme is very deep in Say Hi to Hi-Fi album. Teenagers community also responds it well and becomes their fans with the name Hi Friends. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Siapkah Kau Tuk Jatuh Cinta Lagi. Enjoy the song.
Aku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Namun siapkah kau tuk jatuh cinta lagi, meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku
jatuh, jatuh cinta lagi.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about hi-fi. The power of hi-fi is on their arrangement and typical voice of Dea. Dea's voice can be categorized to become characteristic which sticks strong with hi-fi. Unfortunately, togetherness of Dea along with hi-fi is only for 7 years. March 2016 was a time for hi-fi to release their vocalist to study and to develop her career in music. Other three personnel of hi-fi have known that Dea has long career prospect. Thus, it was not difficult for hi-fi to find new vocalist, namely Neida. Neida's vocal is certainly different from Dea, so that style music of hi-fi is a little bit changed. Hi-fi fans are still loyal, although they feel deeply lost Dea's voice. Listener, to conclude our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Remaja and Merakit Perahu. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Kita remaja yang sedang dimabuk asmara, mengikat janji bersama selamanya. Hati telah terikat, sepasang mata memikat, melambungkan asmara yang selalu meminta mengulur senja menanti datang sang pemilik hati. Rela menanti sejak terbit mentari, tak sabar untuk berbagi segala isi di hati, ceriakan sanubari dan bercumbu di ujung hari. Indahnya kisah kasih kita di masa remaja, di bawah rayu senja kita di madu bermanja. Tiada masa-masa yang lebih indah dari masa remaja, seakan dunia milik berdua. Hati terasa merindu tanpa rasa duka, berkumandang merdu senandung asmara kepada yang tercinta. Nada nada tercinta genggam pesona jiwa, ku serahkan dan kau terima. Kita dua insan yang sedang
merakit perahu layarku bersiap untuk maju. dengan hati yang gembira menyambut pergantian waktu untuk berjumpa denganmu. Ku pastikan kau bahagia denganku. Kau kan melihat sungguh indahnya hidup ini. Tiada yang perlu kau sesali, karena semua akan baik-baik saja. Terus berpacu dalam irama lagu yang kan hiasi harimu.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.